I heard something that I was not looking for. I didn't need it. I don't think anybody needed it. And it scarred me for a few weeks. And I was like,
wow.
I was like, well, I wasn't looking for this. I didn't need this. And now Christian music made me. Okay, listen, gents. So today I want to talk about music. Christian music, secular music, music. Now, this is a big conversation, a big topic. And I'm sure it's one that we've probably had several times while growing up in churches, in youth groups, in whatever about music. It's a big thing because it's applicable to everyone, right? But what I'm really interested about is in recent years, we've seen a rise in so-called secular artists, really, you know, diving into Christian music, you know, releasing Christian tracks, doing Christian albums, even in some cases, a whole Christian album. And I really just want to grab your thoughts on that. Mm. So first and foremost, what are your initial reactions to quote-unquote secular artists releasing Christian tracks? And I say quote-unquote, that's going to come back later. But yeah, what are your initial thoughts on secular artists releasing Christian tracks? That's going to come back later.
You've already said what you want to say with your quote-unquote. Initial response, when I thought about this, I was like, well, yeah, what's wrong with that? You know, it's all about the message, it's all about the music, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was my initial response. And then I chewed on it a bit more, had a cup of tea. Mm. And then my brain started going towards a different direction that I'm going to come back to later. Mm. And actually, I'm resting on... It's dangerous. I'm resting on it's dangerous, and I think Christians need to be on the lookout.
Cautious.
Need to be weary. Cautious. Need to be weary. Yes.
It sounds like you agree.
The first thought that came to my mind was actually a Bible verse, and it was when Christ is talking to the disciples and is saying, there will be those that, you know, we prophesied in your name, we did this in your name, we did this in your name. And he will say, get away from me. I didn't know you.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first thing that came to my mind, to say that, you know what, there are going to be, and it's not just about secular artists producing Christian music. It covers a lot of things, but obviously condensing it into that sector, they are going to be people who will say, yes, this is a gospel track. This is this, but actually, does it really glorify God? What are the intentions behind the making of the song? What does that person actually believe about Christ? Is it just because it's a trend now, it's a fad now, let me jump on it because it's going to make me money? So the intentions behind it all matters. In saying that as well, it doesn't mean that every artist that claims to be a Christian artist as well is good.
Okay. Okay, so... Right. So what are you saying then? Are you saying it's an issue that secular artists dive into Christian music?
Yes, because you can't be putting out two contradictory messages. Okay. So you can't have an album that's all about the world, this, the world, that, and then your next album is all about the kingdom of heaven. Pick a side. You can't eat from both tables.
Okay.
Pick a table and stick to it.
Right. Okay. So, Pro Nick, what led you to rest on your dangerous conclusion?
Speaking of biblical verses and whatnot, a funny experience came into my mind. For me, it's a conversation of the vessel. These are vessels. People are vessels that are being used, you know, by God, filled with the Spirit, to minister, evangelize, encourage, strengthen the kingdom of God, right? So this is really a discussion of what belongs in my house. Does that make sense? You know, who belongs in my house? Are we taking inspiration? Are we taking encouragement? Are we taking strength from from sheep dressed in wolves' clothing, basically, you know? And if we are wolves dressed in sheep's clothing skin, yes, that's what I said, is it not?
Yeah, carry on.
Yeah. You see, and that's what I'm saying, that we need to be cautious, because as she was speaking, what I'm thinking of, take Cardi B, for example, we don't know what her music is. She drops one Christian songs, then suddenly it's like, oh, she also does Christian tracks. And that could lead you to then watching everything else. Like, how do you differentiate between the two, you know. Mm. Now, the example that came into my mind, talking about biblical experiences, was that experience of the man who was preaching, trying to cast out a demon or something like that, and must have been calling upon the name of the Lord, you know, must have been calling about Peter and John. and the possession, the demon in the person who was possessed, spoke back to him and said that the God you are talking about, or no, or the Jesus that you're talking about, I know. Mm-hmm. Peter and the John you are mentioning about, those I also know. But who are you? Yeah. And you know, I say it's a funny example because we all know how that ended. Apparently it beat them up to the point where they fled naked from that house.
That story was actually rude. He was probably laughing.
Exactly. You see? So here's the thing. Here's why that came to my mind. Mm-hmm. You have somebody here who is professing the right Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Calling upon the proper disciples of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But because he wasn't of the faith, I can say that, or maybe he wasn't strong enough, maybe he was just a fake. Remember, there's another guy who wanted to buy the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So because he wasn't of that, it's like that had no power over the demon. It's like you are a fake vessel trying to hold on the water, but it's not that simple. It's not just a matter of, I say Jesus, you know, is for us. It's not that simple. This is going back to figure one. Figure one cannot be a called spiritual minister, because in order for you to be that, you need to have this Holy Spirit filling you. These people, these artists, secular artists doing their music, I don't, unless if they are converted, it's fine. We can be converted. You can be whatever. You can be a gangster. And nobody's beyond saving, right? So you can convert, you know, and you can lead a life of Christianity.
Paul was persecuting.
You know, people knew him as the persecutor. There was no such thing as persecution without Paul. He was a poster picture of that. And look at what happened to him. Yeah. So that can happen. So and I think this way discernment comes in. So we can look at this artist. This one changed. As far as we know, he's a believer. They're preaching the gospel music. Fine. Mm. I think that would be okay. But as a whole, dubbing in and out, I feel like these are people that are just trying to get liked from both people, just trying to get followings, trying to get money, trying to get, you know. And yes, on face value, the words that they're saying might resonate with you, but it's more than that for me. For me, it's the vessel that is speaking as well has to be, you know, spirit-led.
Okay, so let me throw a thought in the mix then, because you're saying the vessel has to be, it's about the vessel.
We can't argue with the, if someone is saying Jesus died for our sins, it doesn't matter who they are, that is a fact. Does that make sense?
So you're saying it's about the vessel. Mm. So I'll use your example that you use. So Cardi B now drops a gospel track. She, in this example, we're saying she's not the right vessel. So now I take that track that Cardi B has dropped and I now go sing it as a special item in church. Is that okay?
No, it's not okay.
Let's say the words align with the gospel. The words are truth, like, of course, you said.
Granted, otherwise.
So is the song okay for me to then take and go stand up on a pulpit, special item, just before divine service?
This is a really, really hard discussion, because I think it's going back to another discussion we had many, many years ago. I think our earlier followers will remember this, when we were talking about separating the artists from the art, right? Mm-hmm. Now, like I said, because we're talking about spirituality, right? The faith is not a simple matter. Spirituality is not a simple matter. It's really not a simple matter. When we're talking about God is not a simple matter. Yeah? That's what I'm trying to say. God is complex. So it's not as simple as the words themselves for me in this discussion.
Okay, so before you carry on then, this is a thought that I wanted to throw in. So what if someone was to say that there's nothing wrong with it because it's them expressing themselves and their beliefs? So yes, you could have, for example, Kanye West. I think Kanye West is a very good example because he's the one that actually brought the question to mind, because we know he's a professed Christian, we know he has a church, a service or whatever, but to this day he's still releasing music that is questionable for Christians like myself. So he's a very good example, and he's one that brought the question. So take someone like him, for example. Can he not say, well, no, I'm expressing my faith. You know, I am a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Bible and everything else. And so what's wrong with me singing about it? But at the same time, you know, maybe you can say, this is my lifestyle. This is the life I live. This is what I do. And I'm singing about that as well.
I want to be clear.
Can't I make a track about Jesus? And then on the next thing, have a track with so-and-so about, you know, holes and
it's like what I said, you can't eat from both plates. It's either you're walking with Christ and you're walking with him fully or you're not. There is, unfortunately, when it comes to Christianity and belief and being a child of God, there is no halfway point. You're either fully in or you are fully out. There is no 90%, there is no 70% in or out.
And to be honest with you, the world loves, this is my experience. Yeah. But I'm sorry, we're not judging this based on your experience. Your experience doesn't make something right or wrong. There is a right or wrong despite your experience, despite your life, despite what you're expressing. Right. So here's what I want to say. At the moment, I'm understanding the discussion not to be about whether Mr. Ye can make a track or not. He's free to do whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We are discussing as responsible walk followers of Christ with knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Use walk and followers of Christ in the same sentence.
Yes, I did. You heard it here first. filled with the Holy Spirit, with the ability, teaching, blessing, you know, of discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that we should be choosing to say, I actually actively choose to listen to, let's say, for example, Mr. Ye, when he does his tracks, you know, but I choose not to listen to that stuff. I'm saying no. I'm saying it's not something that Christians should do.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we don't understand being in the world, but not of the world. I feel like we are finding reasons to find ourselves deeper and deeper into the world under the guise of, we're in the world, but we're not part of it. I feel like there's still a clear distinction between an alien comes from Mars or whatever, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
They look down at Earth. They still should be able to see clear distinction in our way we live, talk, sing, you know, everything between those that are professed to be followers of Christ and those that are not. Yeah? Even from just looking. But right now, it's so blurred.
Hang on. If we're talking about music, wouldn't that just purely be in the lyrics, the content of the music? Or are you talking about the actual instruments behind the music as well?
No. We haven't discussed instruments yet.
No. But because you said if an alien comes, they should be able to see a clear distinction.
Yes.
And what I'm saying is, won't that distinction be in the lyrics? No. And if that's the case, Kanye West singing Jesus Walks, it's not a great example.
But in
one of his album, his gospel albums, I don't know what songs, I haven't actually listened to it. But I said Jesus is King. The song about Jesus is King, that's faith-based. But then Kanye West, Gold Diggers, that's not faith-based.
Okay, let me spin it like this.
Pro Nuke wants all the Christians to just be singing Ave Maria.
Actually, no. I'm not going to lie to you.
No. I understood that that's not the point you were making. But then based on what you're saying, I just wanted to clarify that point, that when you're talking about distinction, are you referring, you're referring to the lyrics, I imagine? No,
here's what I'm referring to.
Okay, yeah.
Because we're talking about the verse.
Music distinction.
Yes,
yeah,
here's what I'm talking about. If I take your playlist, versus if I take someone who doesn't believe as their playlist,
right? Okay.
I'm not going to see Kanye West on both playlists, basically.
Right. That's interesting, because that was my next point. Mm. Because if I have Kanye West, Jesus is King on my playlist, and you have Kanye West, Gold Digger on your playlist, can someone not say that's actually a good common ground for Christians to have with non-believers? Because, like, I listen to Kanye West. Oh, do you know he has this album? Oh, what's that? Oh, it's his faith album. You know, he's a Christian. Oh, what's that? Oh, blah, blah, blah. Now you're talking about Jesus because you both listen to Kanye West.
Because it's difficult to evangelize and preach the gospel without
that. It's not about
that.
It's a justification. It's
the same thing Jojo saying about cursing.
No.
It's not valid.
Okay, why not?
Yeah. That's what I want it's to not know. Valid. So because
the point isn't, it's this is the only way. We know there's multiple.
You're going to hurt my neck. I'm feels like I'm watching tennis.
Okay. So
I'm enjoying the conversation. Yeah, I forgot I'm part of it.
We know there's multiple ways of doing things. So it's not a conversation of this is the only way, therefore we have to do it this way. So that's not what we're having. My point is, if someone was to make that point or come with that that argument, would that be a valid argument?
I don't think
we're meant to start evangelizing from a point of commonality. You can evangelize from a point of commonality.
Isn't that why Paul says, when I'm with the Gentile, I'm with the Jew, I'm under the law? He's trying to find common ground.
You can evangelize from a point of commonality, but at no point should that commonality compromise the word of God.
One could argue it's not compromising the word of God, because Kanye West, Jesus is King, has got faith-based lyrics. Where is my compromise in that? That's what I'm trying to pull out because your relation...
In that was, oh, you like Kanye West? I like Kanye West. Have you heard about Jesus?
It almost sounds like Superman and Batman thing. Your name is Martha?
Yes, obviously that's very condensed, but that's the point, to say that in another world, a believer and a non-believer have nothing in common, right? You like your artist, your Cardi B's or whatever. I like my Gathers, my Mercy Me's and my Hill Songs, whatever, right? Nothing in common. In this world that we're discussing, you listen to Kanye West, Gold Digger. I listen to Kanye West, Jesus is King. I listen and be like, I listen to Kanye West. Oh, have you heard this song? Oh, no, I don't really listen to that kind of music from Kanye West. I listen to this album. Mm. Oh, what's that album? Oh, it's his album he made with his church, blah, blah, blah. Again,
isn't that, that's for me, that's the weariness and the caution that I would take from what Pronick said initially, because if you are trying to get that person into the fold, you're starting them from a point of contradiction and a point of confusion, because they'll listen to what Kanye West says in his circular music, and then you're introducing them to this version of Kanye West of the gospel music, but it's still the same Kanye.
They're gonna think it's okay to mix those two realms
because both worlds. You've started that Christianity at a point of Kanye West, so it's like, no, you can't dabble in both. And I suppose further on, maybe another discussion we can have is actually if we're saying no, don't listen to the gospel music of Kanye West, should we then be listening to his non-circular music? Because if you can't listen to his gospel stuff, should we really be listening to his circular stuff? But I'm guessing that's a wider conversation.
No. I mean, it forms part of the same conversation, but I think let's put a pin on it.
Because then how do you go back to that person after that's been your common ground to say, okay, now that you are here, you can't listen to your old stuff. You can only listen to this new stuff.
It's a starting point. A starting point
for a new believer cannot be confusion. It's the same way Paul says new believers are like babies, soft stuff. You can't confuse if babies have too much going on for them, they get really confused. That's why things for babies are really, 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 really simple.
I feel like you just sort of argued against yourself, because Paul, you are right. Paul does say, I gave you milk, but now it's time for meat. So one could argue.
Yeah, but that's the starting point.
But then further on down the line, you have to understand that it's not okay for you to be listening to Kanye West Gold Digger anymore.
Yeah, but
I feel like
the milk that you're giving here is confusion.
I want to support what she's saying. If we're still doing points, I would have awarded points to you right now, because I feel like you put it nicely, Fatania. I feel like she put it nicely when she was talking about the I don't want to repeat everything. And what I want to add is this: it is confusion, because how do you know that Kanye West has released a gospel track if you are not already listening to Kanye West's stuff? Sorry, we are misnaming this guy. It's not Mr. West, it's Mr. Yeah. He's gonna come out after us, yeah. But how do you know? It's like,
it came up on your Christian playlist, new Christian album.
What could happen is that someone who is not listening to secular music could end up then going into secular music through the same artist. Mm-hmm. Because what we are doing is that we are pegging these artists as the lead, as the spiritual leaders, or the as cornerstones. The cornerstones in a way that we should be placing brethren in the family. Does that make sense?
No.
Okay, so what I'm trying to say is There's nothing wrong with having a minister who is encouraging the church. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with having music people that sing songs to edify and encourage in the church and stuff like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is all fine. So we can have Christian artists that do only that kind of thing. It's fine. It's going to be needed. Mm-hmm. But there's a difference between having somebody within your household, within the kingdom of God, and someone outside the kingdom of God. If he's someone outside the kingdom of God, you run the risk of then, oh, let's say I've never heard of Mr. Ye's music before. Mm. Gospel track. I came in and I was going crazy about the music that was playing there. That was not a, that was like a do. There was a beat to it. Mm. Yeah. I come in and I hear a track on those nice speakers, you know, do. And I'm hearing Jesus died for my sin. And they're speaking to my soul. I'm like, oh, who is this? Artist? Oh, it's this guy called Kanye. I'm like, oh, I like this stuff. I'm going to go home and Google. Yeah. Now, if I'm weak in faith, there's a risk of me now start liking all his other stuff now, because I haven't got the ability to be able to say, you know what, let me just stick to this song. Yeah. So we are putting the wrong people in the position of responsibility. Yeah. In the position of what does the Bible call it? You remember Paul talks about when he's talking about vessels, he's talking about some are sent to waters and then some are sent to plow and things like that. You know, we're putting the wrong people in the place of apostles. I'll say apostles and preachers. Mm. Yeah. We're putting the wrong people in the places of apostles and preachers that could lead us to a place that we don't want to. These people don't belong in the kingdom of God.
Okay. So, and I think that's another point I wanted to touch on, because you are right. It is a complicated topic to speak about, because the reason
it might sound like we are judging
someone may not be comfortable with that is because you're saying they don't belong in the kingdom of God, but these are people who profess to be Christians. Mm. So how can we sit and say these people don't belong in the kingdom of God
when they are
professing to be Christians?
And this,
Kanye West has a church, he has a service, he has a ministry.
But just because you profess to be a Christian, it doesn't mean you are a child of God. It doesn't mean you are a Christian.
There you go.
Because as a Christian, your life will reflect that.
The things you do will reflect that.
So
I think that's the point I want to emphasize.
As Christians, we've got to have that discernment to say, just because somebody says they are a Christian, we have to still look at the way they live. If they're living a life completely contrary to the teachings of Christ, to the ethos of God, to the ethos of why Jesus came and died, then you're not a Christian. You are a lip service Christian. Mm. You're not a Christian. You're not a Christian that will make it into the kingdom. Again, I'll go back to the verse I opened with. Many will come in my name and say, Lord, Lord, we did this in your name. Christ himself is clear that there are people who are out there fully believing they are children of God, but there will come a day where they will knock on that door and God will say,
I sang a song that was a gospel track. I preached a sermon at a church. I wrote an encouraging thing on X. He would be like, who are you?
I understood what you're saying, but I think that's the point I wanted to emphasize, that I don't think it's right to say that these people are not in the kingdom, because it's not our place to make that judgment. However, what we can do, of course,
we can one day say they don't belong. That's what you're thinking.
What we can do is go by the Bible, and the Bible says that you shall know them by their fruits.
Exactly.
So it's simply put, if someone is saying, I'm a Christian, and they're doing things that are contrary to what the Bible teaches, what is expected of a Christian, then that's when you can take a step back and say, I don't know about what's happening here. I don't think we can't cast judgment. I think that's fair. And I can hear a lot of Christians say, no, you can't cast judgment. And I'll say, I think that's absolutely fair. But what we can do is say, this is what the Bible says. Mm. This is what I'm seeing. This is what the fruits are showing. Thus, take a step back.
And James is saying that.
I think sometimes as well, you've got to look at where the artists are coming from, because there's a lot of secular artists that will drop gospel tracks all in the name of, I'm going back to my roots. This is where I came from. So it's not even about glorifying God. It's because, you know, I came from the church. Let me show off my harmonies. Let me show off the riffs I can do with my voice, because these are the roots that I came from. I'm paying respect to my roots. So it's not actually even about God himself. It's not about that, full stop.
Well, the issue is that, though, even Christian artists, you can never know what their intent are.
You can't.
I think, and I want to get to Christian artists in a moment, but because we're talking about secular artists doing Christian songs, I think that one is a bit easier because because you can see the fruits. You know the proof
you
is in the pudding.
Lifestyle.
Yeah, the proof is in the pudding. So you it's a lot easier to discern. Mm. But if we're talking about motivations and intentions, we're gonna never know where this song comes from.
With actual Christian artists, unfortunately, a lot of them are not full-fledged celebrities, so you don't have the privilege of being able to know most of their lives inside out. So I think with that, it just takes quite a bit of discernment, really. I don't know what you could do to find out what kind of lifestyle that person is living. I don't know every member of Hillsong. I don't know what kind of things they're getting up to. So I just have to take that with discernment. I have to listen to the song, listen to the lyrics and figure out actually are these lyrics professing the true words of God. So I don't know. I don't want to say ignorance is bliss, but unfortunately when you don't know, you just don't know.
Yeah, no, I would say ignorance is bliss. And that's the unfortunate thing about the ones that we're talking about, is because we know the kind of thing they get up to. Yeah. And I think it's a fair point to say, you know, if someone argues, yeah, well, just because you don't know.
Or the other type of music they release, not the things they get up to.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
The other type of music that release,
yeah. If we are sticking to the context, yeah. It's fair enough to say that, okay, if you take a Christian artist, a proper Christian artist, someone could argue, well, they could be doing the same things behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are not sitting here as if we have
the... Some of them are, to be fair.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But we are not sitting here as if we have the eyes of God and we see what's going on in the hearts of people and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It's just purely, you shall know them by their fruits, like what you're saying, discernment. Yeah. So we are I would use the word judging. We are judging this based on what we see and what we know.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, it's not our business. You know, beyond that, it's not for us to worry about. So... You know, it is what, unfortunately, it is one of them ones where, for me, I would say, if I don't know, and someone, Gather, for example, the widely known, we have the Gathers and the other, I was trying to be a bit hip, the Hill songs and the whatnot.
That is not hip.
I tried. You know, we have a lot of artists that, for me, it will be easier because the starting ground is that we are of the same kingdom or flock or fold. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I have no business walking to a church, seeing the pastor for the day to preach, and then thinking, oh, but what do you get up to? That's not my business. Mm. He's in the church. He's a minister. You see what I mean?
Every sermon, Facebooking him.
Exactly. You see what I mean? But if I go down to the pub, for example, or not even pub, if I go somewhere else, for example, and someone wants to stand up, you know, someone that I'm like, I can ask, oh, hold on a minute, you know, you want to preach to me, but I've just seen you beating a woman down the streets there. You see what I mean? Mm. That for me is easier to be like, nah, I'm not going to judge you. One day it will be your turn. But based on what I'm seeing, I think you need the deliverance. You need the sermon. You know, not you giving the sermon.
Okay, let me throw a spanner in the work. So we know good man's Kirk Franklin. We got a little insight into his life not so long ago when he cussed out his son.
Mm-hmm.
How many Christians actually boycotted his music for following that? Or was it more of a, even the ones that are called by God for in a moment of weakness, forgive them?
Okay, I'm going to say two things.
Because obviously we're talking about not having much insight into...
Yeah, we had that
little bit of insight. And then the man them went hardcore on his son. I don't know if you don't listen to know what happened there. So... he must have had an argument with his son.
Mm.
So he was on the phone and he was cursing his son.
Mm.
Every word under the sun that you can think of, our guy used. He was angry. You could hear it. So that went quite viral on Instagram. Shadeborough was on it, that kind of thing.
Mm.
But obviously it died down. But I didn't at any point hear Christians saying, oh yeah, we're boycotting Kirk Franklin. And a lot of the comments from people that were on Kirk's side were really saying, you know what, he's also human. Humans make mistakes.
Doesn't this go back to the conversation we had about cussing?
Yes, it does.
Did you say that? This is what I was saying, that there's a large population of Americans
that don't
see an issue.
No,
with
but
he
put out an apology just saying that his behavior was not
appropriate.
I
don't think I listened to it, but I do remember the conversation. But that's because he was apologizing how angry he was and the outburst that he had. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think the conversation was about the cuss words that were used. the conversation was the outburst that he had towards his son. It was like, whoa, okay. It's just like if someone gets angry.
The conversation was about how unchristian or how ungodly the interaction was.
For a Christian, a gospel singer. So I'll say two things. The first one is personal. Kirk Franklin has always given me the heebie-jeebies. Listen, I have nothing against Kirk Franklin personally, nor his music. I think he has some bangers, but I've just never been able to fully merge in his songs. As in, actually, you know my playlist. I haven't got Kirk Franklin on my playlist. And I have loads of Christians. Why? Don't get me wrong.
There is one banger.
Today is a new day.
Yeah.
And there is it's a banger. Hey! It just has never made it to my playlist. Because I don't know, just something about Kirk Franklin. That's personal.
If you want to be happy, I like that one.
Yeah. You see, he has a really nice song. So take this is just personal. Take with a pinch of salt. Throw that away.
Mas, you don't have to sing the album.
But the second thing is that, I think you made the point to say being Christian doesn't mean you're perfect. So I think as Christians, with the discernment that Pronik was talking about, we need to be able to discern what is just a human failing and a deliberate lifestyle choice or a deliberate, maybe that's the best way to put it. So, if a Christian, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something.
Accidentally sleeps with another man.
That's a good one. No. That's a good one. So for example, maybe not
by accident.
No, not about that.
He fell in.
But I knew it.
But no, that's a good one. So let's say adultery, for example. Yeah. If we hear that a Christian artist or a Christian that we know commits adultery, that's not to say, oh, they're not of the kingdom. They're written off. That's it. They're evil. You know, I think as a human, you can be discerning and be like, okay, obviously how much you know will depend on what judgment you cast. You can be like, okay, you know what, repent, God forgives you, blah blah blah, let's move on. Or if you know that it was a deliberate thing, you can be like, you know, this thing is not a godly thing, you need to change your ways, blah 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 blah. Being a Christian doesn't mean you're perfect, so I don't think any misstep a Christian artist might make means boycott their music. I think that's that's too far.
I'll also say two things, but without repeating what Chinna said, right? For me, it's two things. First of all, in the world of celebrity, I do believe that with great power comes great responsibility. Yeah, celebrities are put under a lot of scrutiny simply because they're in the public eye. They are leaders of our society in so many ways. We have a lot of people looking up to them. Plus, you know, even those that are bored, this is where we turn for entertainment. Oh, what did Cardi B do today? Oh, she released another track song. What? And then we go in and say what we need to say. Yeah. So small things or even normal things that, you know, would be dealt with differently with your average Joe are very huge. So therefore, there's a lot more need for them to be disciplined in control. Yeah. So an outburst like that, that was careless on his part. It's expected for him, being who he is, to be in control of his emotions. Yeah. Why was it over the phone? Why did it get recorded? Why did it end up on the internet? So many things. So many things went wrong in that. You know, if you at least speak in person, shut your door, you know.
Can I ask a question? Do you think a Christian singer is, I'm going to phrase this in a maybe not the best way, but just understand what I'm trying to say, yeah? Do you think there's less requirement from a gospel singer than, let's say, like a preacher?
No. In
terms of what you're talking about, like in control and what's expected and whatnot. Do you think that would be a lot more unacceptable from like a preacher than from a gospel singer?
I would say yes and no. I would say yes based on, let's say, my younger self. Yeah. We all view preachers with a lot more responsibility. Right? So yes, that's my yes. However, in recent light, or even from the conversation we've had today, we've grown to understand the power music has, especially on spirituality. Yeah, even in the Bible, there are songs. Yeah, they sing, and it's in my opinion, music is a gateway that opens up a world to the spiritual realm because it's designed to 100% move your emotion.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So now,
something
everybody partakes in. So now what we're seeing is that it's like, that's why I was talking about vessels. That's why I use the word vessel. Mm. Yeah, I would have never used that word vessel with a singer. It's more to do with preachers, teachers, prophets, you see, because of how we view them. Mm. But no, these singers, I think, if I'm not mistaken, do quote me on this. I just don't know where it is. But even in the Bible, within the Levites or the children of Israel, there was a group of people that were
musicians.
You know, so even we've been, if there's a verse actually praise him with stringed instruments, mm-hmm. praise him, whatever. So actually, in their own right, they hold a big responsibility and they do carry the church of God. Yeah. Sometimes when I want a good cry, I'll put in a good gather song, you know, and I'm reading my Bible and I'm like, Jesus, come soon. So yeah, so
and I think maybe Christian musicians don't actually understand the responsibility they, that they actually have. I would say they probably even have a greater responsibility to live right than preachers, because music is just so powerful. More often than not, people will leave a service or a sermon remembering what songs were sang, what the special item was, as opposed to what the sermon actually was.
I guess you probably listen to songs more than you do
sermons. Because that's something you can do passing time. You know, you're cleaning, you're doing this, is a good gospel music. So yeah, it's a very strong form of preaching. The second thing I was going to say that, going back to my answer, the second thing I was going to say within the Christendom, I feel like it's the same. So in the secular world, we have celebrities. In the Christendom, we have the pastors, the preachers, the elders, the singers. So actually, even Timothy, I think he talks about, if you want to be an elder, make sure your house is in order, make sure this, make sure that, make sure that. Mm-hmm. If you are that kind of person, you know, you have put yourself, whether it's by, well, I'm not going to say whether, but as a calling, you've been called to be in that position, a lot more is expected from you. And actually, the Bible talks about how, again, these people, the preachers and the whatnot, the verses that are being used, they'll get a higher reward in
the Bible says to whom much is given, much is required. Expected.
Exactly. So that's going back to what we're discussing, Kirk Franklin and whatnot. That's my answer. Unfortunately, if you are of that person, more is expected from you. So I'm sorry, my brother, my sister, you have to make sure that we don't hear about these things.
Not that we don't hear about them. You're not doing them. Pranik said do them, but don't get caught.
Okay, so let me ask a hard question. And I'm not gonna give too much context to it. I want to see. I'll just ask the question plainly first.
Okay.
And then if you guys are struggling, I'll try and expand a bit more, right?
Okay.
What makes a song secular?
That is a very hard question. That is a very, very hard question. You wanna go first?
I think there isn't just one thing that makes a song secular.
Okay.
I think it's a formula.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go on, Professor.
I hate you. It's a formula, and it's everything that we've been talking about. It's about the person, the intent, the message, because we've also got to think that, I think, I don't want to use the word circular. There are gospel songs that are not actually gospel songs because the message is not of the gospel. They actually contradict the gospel. So I would class those as...
Are they not just false gospel songs?
Mm. Yeah, but we call them gospel songs, but they're not gospel songs. I would lump them in the same as what we're terming circular, because they're not songs that profess the gospel. And when we're saying gospel music, I think people use the term gospel music very loosely. As long as somebody says this is a gospel song, we take it as that. But the word gospel itself has a meaning.
Okay, well, I mean, that was going to be sort of the next question. But so then I'll ask you first. You can deal with the first question. Then the second question in one. But since you're talking, I'll ask you for Sunny first. So then what does make a gospel song? Or a Christian song, we use them interchangeably for the purpose of this conversation.
The message,
what does make a gospel
song? The message
song?
Has to be doctrinally correct. That's not a word, but we'll go with it. The message has to be doctrinally, made it even worse. The message has to align.
Why would you repeat it twice? The first time we were on board.
Go on. The message has to be correct. What you're singing about has to be correct. It has to be in line with the words of God and the words of Christ. In saying that, I'm not saying all songs have to be quoted from scripture directly, but whatever that song is communicating has to fall in line with scripture and what God and Christ teaches. So it can be a simple song that just says God is love over and over again. That's correct.
What about a song that doesn't mention God at all? Can it still be a gospel song?
If it doesn't have to mention God for it to be a gospel song. Like I said,
so again, I was thinking through the lyrics quickly. I was trying to finish the song. I couldn't. But let's say the one we're singing.
Okay, like, so I'll give you an example.
Today is a new day. I don't think that mentions Jesus or anything much. But would you say that's not a gospel song? Because about today is a new day, but there is no such. If you just, I'm singing two songs. Is today's a new day? If you want to be happy,
no.
I'm mixing two songs and done. Yeah. Okay, fine. But my question is, if it's a song like let's say Happy and Today's a New Day,
Happy is not a good example.
No, not the Pharrell Williams one.
No, I said because if you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to don't get stuck in how you feel. Say Jesus, take the wheel.
So that one was the way that you need to. Okay, fine. So. Is that a gospel song because it says Jesus take the wheel?
No, I would say that's a gospel song because the message is in line with the teachings of Christ. And I'm not saying gospel song has to say, so take the song, there is beauty all around when there's love at home. Mm-hmm. That song doesn't actually mention God, but the message, you can find it.
So I'm asking another question. I feel like I'm throwing a lot of questions at you.
But the message of the
I hope you're listening.
The message of the song you can find you can go into scripture and say yes, actually the scripture does back up the message the song is communicating. Yes, okay, but it doesn't mention God or Christ within the lyrics.
Okay, so the song by Neil, I want to say Diamond. I don't think it's Diamond, but What a Wonderful World. I love that song. And I think to myself, What a Wonderful World. Is that a gospel song?
No,
but everything it's saying scripturally backed up. It is a wonderful world. There are roses are red, trees are beautiful. It is nice to be friends with your neighbors, see smiling children.
But that's what I was saying. It's not just about the lyrics. Neil Armstrong wasn't trying to praise God.
Armstrong, that's the one.
Neil Armstrong wasn't trying to praise God.
Neil Diamond.
No, it's.
He was not trying
what you're saying,
to give credit to create of creation to God.
I mean, he may have been, but who knows? But
in the instance that he wasn't, then no, I wouldn't say.
So what you're saying then is that a gospel song is a gospel song, depending on the content of the song,
mm-hmm.
and with the intention that the content of the song are trying to give praise to God.
Yeah, content, context, and
purpose.
Had to be C, the three C's.
And con, yeah, I can't. Okay, all right, fair enough. I wouldn't disagree too much with that. I think you handled my quick fire questions very well. Well done, Fatani. If we're giving points, I'll give you 500.
I've had so many points today.
So, Pronik, back to the original question then. What do you think makes a song secular?
I think this is where I was saying that this is a very hard discussion, but it's a very good discussion because. From what I'm seeing, it's like we're going a level deeper,
mm-hmm.
right? First thing I want to say is, what is the opposite to secular?
For the purpose of this conversation, we're saying gospel or Christian music.
So what it is that for whatever reason, the world has recognized two categories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is of the world, mm-hmm. is what I would say. This is of God,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, there could be a lot of reasons as to why that is. And I will jump on what Fatsana said on that one, you know. Message, content, mm-hmm. you know, purpose of that message, and what I'm seeing that I'm adding today is also the vessel, artist, you know, the one that has released that context.
Okay,
yeah, is what I'm seeing that we are adding today because there has to be a reason why this, you know, this differentiation is put by the world, you know. So I may not be able to articulate it. But clearly it is seen by everybody where we're able to discern that actually this is a secular song and this is a gospel song, you know?
Can I ask you a question?
Hold on.
Go on.
So I may not be able to get to the bottoms of what the differentiations are, mm-hmm. but they are definitely there. You know, and for now, for the purpose of answering that song, that the question directly, I would definitely say message.
You can slay if you want to.
I tried so hard, but it came out of me.
I would definitely say the message in the song, the intent of the song, mm-hmm. and the artist as well contribute to that being a gospel track or a secular track, I would say.
So my question to you, there can be miracles when you believe. Is that a gospel song?
That's not a gospel song.
No?
No. Let me be clear.
No. That's fine. I'm not disagreeing. I'm not agreeing.
I want to add to that. I want to add to that.
So I'm saying, Take Me to the King. Who sang that song? Tamala King?
Yeah.
Tamala something.
Tamala Man.
If Tamala, that lady sang that song, which I think was Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, are they the original singers of that? If she sang that song, would that then be a gospel song?
Right. I'm going to answer it like this. First of all, I'm going to answer something that you haven't asked yet, which is, we are not saying, I am not saying that there's no good message in the secular world.
No. Yeah? That's what I'm saying either.
Exactly.
No.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to drill down.
There can be miracles when you believe. Good message, good track, you know, good song sung by those two wonderful women or that woman and whatnot. Great song. Yeah. Now, the other one you've mentioned, for my understanding, that's a believer. Yeah. That's a Christian. She's writing that song in praise of God. So the lyrics are intended to praise God. They are intended to encourage believers. They are intended to strengthen believers. So the intent and the message and the reason of putting out that track is for believers. It belongs to the kingdom of believers. This one is to entertain the world, you know, as a whole.
To encourage the world.
But encourage the world.
I think Chin is asking is there are a lot of really popular what we call Christian songs now that have actually derived from secular music. Even the people we're quoting, like the Gaithers, I think a song like This Old House, I think that's originally sung by a secular artist.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah,
and then they've been repurposed as gospel.
Let me talk about that. And this is why it's very blurred. I'm not gonna lie. There's a certain...
It's not linear.
My encouragement to Christians as a whole is that we need to grow and we need to mature, because there are a lot of things that you're never going to find them, one, in the Bible, black and white, and two, they'll never be black and white even on discussion, right? Because if I'm a preacher and I've gone out to the world somewhere and I've seen something that has encouraged me or whatever, or I've seen something interesting, you know, a man and a woman, there's a story there. I go and pulpit on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, to be fair, all religions, and then I can pull on that experience, mix it in my sermon. That's a sermon. That's a powerful sermon. No one is going to say that, oh, you're just telling an old story or you're just repeating the news. No, I've purposed that with the intention of delivering a powerful sermon so people are encouraged in Jesus. So it is possible to take a song that you've heard, you know, this song is very good. You can repurpose that, put it next to a story of Jesus, and say, oh, this can actually be purposed in the story of Jesus. Now your intentions are to encourage people with those words. It's been repurposed. That is possible. You see, so that's what I'm saying. It's not a simple discussion, to be fair with you. I don't know how our listeners are going to take this. But if we are of mature mind, if we are doing what the scripture is instructing us to do, which is to grow, some of these things are not going to be issues. No matter what
I do. I mean, I don't know about not being issues. I think there will always be issues, but I think you are right in that maybe how they're handled and how they're approached will be in a more beneficial way, in a more
edifying way,
in a more edifying less way, in a more productive way. And not in a way of I don't know, because you have some people who take like a hard and fast line where it's like there is no, like if I catch you listening to Whitney Houston, you're going to hell, right? And then you've got others who are like, oh no, I can listen to Whitney Houston, Black Sabbath, and Gaither. I can listen to whatever. You know, it's not about the music. It's about me. You know, it's about me and my God. You have those kind of people. And for anyone who that sounds like a good argument, it's not.
Matter how eloquently you put it, it's not.
It's not. And if you don't know why,
wow.
Come back later. I'm sure we'll tackle it in future episodes. But Yes, but obviously I do think there is a, you are right, there are some things that I guess discernment is key. Discernment is key. And I think that's, I really think that's a really big thing that I'm seeing in the Bible recently. In recent weeks, whenever I'm reading the Bible, the things like discernment, so that you can know what is God's good. What's good. So
what that you, is good and righteous, what is good
so
and
that
right.
you can approve what is pleasing to God. So that it's like there is a lot of things where the Spirit will show you what is approvable and pleasing to God and what is not. So people, I think people want the Bible to contain like literally everything. Like, you know, don't move this plant 3 inches to the left. You know, it's like, no, the Spirit needs room to work.
Which is what it was. And now it's it is according to how far the Spirit tells you to move it.
Okay, all right, that's fine. So, listen, I do acknowledge those were hard questions, and I think that you guys did very well. So, from what I'm understanding you guys to be saying, what makes a secular song and a Christian song is about the content of the song, as well as the...
Context
of the song,
as well as the purpose,
And as well as the intent, and I think, and I guess the purpose, the intended audience of the song. I think I like what
I
like what Pronik said about I can sing a song, "What a Wonderful World," and my intent is to speak to believers, to encourage believers, to point believers' attention to the creation of God and whatnot, and I guess that serves a different purpose than me trying to write a song. That's still maybe to encourage, but to encourage the
world. You can tell somebody that on the seventh day rest, for in 7 days God created this the world, and on the seventh he rested. That's the Sabbath. And you can tell someone that, listen, you need to rest at least 1 day a week, because 6 days you're working. If you work 7 days full out, that's stressful. You know, that's going to depress you, you know, and it's not good for your well-being. It's not good for your anxiety. You need time for your family. That these are all true things, you know. Same message, different routine.
Different routine. That's fair enough.
Of all examples Pronik has ever given.
I'm doing well these days, you know?
That was, Well done.
No, fair enough.
Finally getting recognition.
Okay, no, but listen, the reason I thought this was important, and we're going to have to bring it to a close. And
before you bring it to a close, I'm interested to know if there's anything you can add to what we've said, anything you disagree with, anything you think we've missed out, if we are on the same page, regards to everything that we've discussed.
I think we're largely on the same page. The aspect you've brought in of the vessel, I don't know. I have to think about it more. I definitely do agree in context of where it's clear. So, for example, you have someone who doubles, again, this is only example in mind. This, I'm not out here trying to hate on anybody, but it's just because it's the most recent example. So, Yay, for example, right? We know he's a Christian. He does his music or whatnot, and some of his music is, you know, is great. But then the next week he's going to release a track that's completely not Christian suitable, right? I think in those kind of contexts, for me, I have no issue not engaging in that whatsoever. And I would encourage any Christian where it is that black and white, stay clear, right? But then you have other situations where Justin Bieber, for example, who is a professed Christian. I think he sings with Hillsong sometimes. He's in churches. He does Christian tracks. But then also he releases quote-unquote secular music. But his music is, one could argue, it's not like wildly.
It's wild, just not wild.
No, again, just listeners, you've been with us for a long time now. Just understand what I'm saying, okay? I'm gonna stop cushioning my sentences, right? Just follow me.
It's 2024. You know, here it is.
I can just cushion. Anyway, so someone could say his music is not like wildly secular, right? Obviously, he's talking about, you know, girls falling in love and stuff like that. But it's not like he's talking about, like, you know, I'm gonna go kill someone or do coke or whatnot or whatnot. And one could be like, well, so he's a believing Christian. It's just his version of Christianity allows him to release these songs as a job. You know, his job is an artist, in the same way someone is a nurse.
But it's even that word you've used. Can you have versions of Christianity?
I think that's a theological question. But I'm just saying the reality is people have versions of Christianity. Hence what we're talking about, cussing. Some people don't think it's an issue. So his version of Christianity allows him to do that. So in him doing that, it's not like he's flip-flopping between worlds. He's living in his world. But then the reason that's an issue with me, can I then come from the outside and say, because of that, his Christian music has no value for me? Or I should discard his Christian music? I don't know. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I just, at the moment, I just don't know. I think I need to chew
on it. From what you've said, you said something interesting earlier about when you were talking about someone we know who is purposely living a certain lifestyle. From what you've said about Mr. Bieber, it seems to me is that what he's portraying is that his lifestyle is that of a believer. Maybe what can be questioned is his understanding on certain things.
That's fair.
For me, that would fit under someone that perhaps will sing about smashing prostitutes and things like that, turn believer. Now his music somewhat reflects his now current believing state. Does that make sense? So that would, for me, that would be, again, I'm just going based on what you say. For me, that again would be, actually, in that case, that's okay. You know, someone has converted and then they're still singing. Because like we said, it's not that we can't sing. If we all go to parties, weddings and whatnot, we're not playing Gaither or Hillsong at weddings. You know, we are playing Afrobeats, we are playing Amapiano, we are playing tunes and we're dancing. And in my understanding at the moment, this is not a sin. Because again, even the culture that God gave the Israelites, they had weddings, they had celebrations, they had feasts, they had parties, they were eating, feasting, drinking, dancing.
Okay, it's about the content, isn't it?
It's about the content, yes. You see? So I don't think we're on different pages. I think it's just the finer things, I guess.
That's why I said that ultimately we look at certain cases. Yeah, and that's what I said. Ultimately, I don't disagree with what you're saying. And that's why I was asking some of the questions, because I was drilling down to get to some of those comments that you guys made that I really agree with. And I really like the way you've summarized, I guess, what secular music and what gospel music is and the heart behind that and everything else. But the reason why I thought this was an interesting conversation is because, like I said, Kanye West released their gospel album. And when it came out, I was not interested because I knew who Kanye West was, his Kardashian phase and everything else. I wasn't interested.
And then you listened to it?
No, I wasn't interested at all. But then I think a couple of weeks back, I was like, you know, I need to refresh my Christian rap playlist. You know, I think I've got 100 or so songs. I was like, okay. It's going to not get old, but you know, sometimes you hear songs over and over again. I need to find new music. So I started looking, you know, Christian rap and whatever. And he was coming up in a lot of playlists, a lot of Christian playlists. So for the first few days, every time there was a Kanye West song, I was skipping. But then I was like, this guy's in a lot of Christian playlists. Let me listen to this album just to see, you know, just to hear what.
Let me guess.
It
caressed your soul. You were like in tears, like this is good.
What I do appreciate about Kanye, right, and I think this is why Christian music annoys me, again, personal thing, pinch of salt. I feel like Christian music is not as creative as worldly music. I feel like there's no more creativity in worldly music. And that annoys me because I want the creativity, but I don't want the worldly music. So I'm always looking in Christianity. And don't get me wrong, there are creative artists out there, which, you know, I find and stuff like that. But the reason I'm saying that, Kanye West's album is definitely creative. The arrangement, the music and stuff, it is definitely creative. But it's not for me. But then that's why the question came up to say, well, hang on. Should Christians actually be listening to this? And the what stuck out to me was a song that he does with Jay-Z. I think it's called Jail, and it's talking about, you know, the song itself is fine, but there's a line in it where it's a Jay-Z line that goes, Hova and Yeezus, like Moses and Jesus. And I was like, hang on, have I just heard blasphemy in my ears? I was like, hang on. So I then started doing a bunch of research and whatnot.
Wait, say that again. Hova.
So Jay-Z goes by Jehovah. I don't know if you know that.
No, so I think that's where you.
So Jay-Z goes by Jehovah. Okay. You know that's his name. Yeah, those are his nicknames.
As in Jehovah.
Yeah, yeah. So I've heard it.
Yes, you heard.
That's the thing. I never thought about it. I've heard Hova, Jehovah. I never thought about it, but then when I heard him saying this line, Hova and Yeezus, obviously. Yay, because Yeezus, that's a play on Jesus,
right? Yeah. I understood the second part. It was
so, so when I heard this line, Hova and Yeezus, like Moses and Jesus, I was like, hang on, hang on.
Did the house shake?
And I was like, this is the issue that you run into when you're listening to quote unquote secular artists doing gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only do they may not know where the line is, but there's a lot of other things mirrored into that. Because Christian music is about me as an artist, you know, what my achievement, my talents, my everything.
Christian music is, or secular music?
Secular, sorry, did I say Christian? Secular music is about, mostly it's about that. Whereas Christian music, like you said, the purpose is to drive people to a focus point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you have an artist who does both, it's like they're saying,
comes the caution bit we were talking about. I don't think that's perfect way of putting it, actually.
Another example,
because there are things that I okay, and it may not be them hiding, but there are things like that can be present that you may not think about. You see, and those are going to your subconscious. Those are definitely affecting you.
Yeah.
Even if it's at a very minute level, it's still an issue.
Minute.
100%. And another reason.
You find
yourself
praying at night, dear Jehovah.
Bless me like you bless Moses.
Another example, just in finishing.
Before you know, you're smitten.
There's a song, and I wanted to get to this, but we don't have the time. But there was a song by Marley Music. You know, we all know who Marley Music is. Yeah,
that was my first Christian rap that I was introduced to.
Marley Mr. Music. Marley. He's a great artist. Mm. But he did a song with I think it was J. Cole. No, it's a woman. J. Cole. The song is called Contradiction. So at that time, I think I just
Janae Marley Aker. Music.
That one, yeah.
Who?
Janae Aker or something like that. Yeah, listen, I don't know these things. So at this time, I think I just found Marley Music. So I was going through his catalog, and I came across, I think he just released it, Contradiction. Nice song. Again, not necessarily, it doesn't mention God, but it's a nice song. That's maybe whatever. Contradiction. And she was in it. She featured. Lovely voice. I was like, this woman has a great voice. I need to listen more to her music.
There you go.
So I typed in her name.
There you go.
And she had a song with Chris Brown. I was like, huh? Because I thought she was a Christian artist.
Well, supposed to be.
That's the first song I heard of.
Supposed to be.
Supposed to be.
Oh.
If your girl come close
listen,
to me,
if
you ain't going home unless you're supposed to be.
You're just showing.
Right.
If there is ever an example to explain what you were saying, this is it. Because I heard her song, I heard her voice.
Do you want me to explain the lyrics to you?
I heard her song, I loved it.
Finish.
I went to search to hear more of her songs, more of her voice, and I heard this music. I heard something that I was not looking for. I didn't need it. I don't think anybody needed it. And it scarred me for a few weeks. And I was like,
was it the supposed to be song?
Yeah.
Was it the, you gotta get rid of these hoes for me, you gotta eat the booty like groceries?
You've got to eat like what? Broccoli?
You've got to eat the booty like groceries.
Wow. What? Wow.
I was like, I wasn't looking for this. I didn't need this. And now, Christian music made me.
Now you're looking like your groceries all over.
So if there's ever an example of that.
Person is that go put the happened. Groceries away. No! Touching the groceries!
That's how it happened. I was like, oh, but yeah, you see, so it's this sort of examples that led me to this conversation. I think that's why it's important. But listen,
I scarred me for a week.
I do think there was a lot said in this conversation. So guys, I really hope you enjoyed the conversation. I hope it made you think, if nothing else. There's a lot of areas that we probably could have touched on that we didn't. So feel free to get in touch with us, comment below or wherever else. If you have any avenues you want to add. Otherwise, it's murky, but I think, long story short, it's about discernment. It's about growing in the word, growing in the knowledge of God, so that you're able to better discern what is right and reason before.
Long story even shorter, stay away from secular artists when it comes to discernment.
All that. Okay. I heard something that I was not looking for. I didn't need it. I don't think anybody needed. And it scarred me for a few weeks. And I was like,
was it this supposed to be some?
Yeah.
Was it the, you gotta get rid of these hosts for me? You gotta